We've been walking through a series called Owners. We're on the second last week. Next week, we wrap this one up. And we've been looking at the idea of what it would look like, what it would mean for a church to be full of not just people, not just guests, you know, not just people who are coming to check it out and see what it's all about, though there's lots of room for that. We're so glad if you're here just looking, just wondering, just waiting to see how God leads you. That's okay. But what does it look like when a church starts to actually be full, not just of guests, but of owners? Of people who are saying, this is the church that God has put me in, this is the space that God has called me to, and I'm going to be someone who takes the responsibility of, takes the weight of what is going on here. I'm going to help shape it and move it forward and bring something to life that maybe hasn't been brought to life yet. In fact, recognizing that each of us has something to give. Week one, we talked about the idea that before you buy a house, before you become an owner of a house, you go to the bank and you see if you have money. You see what's in the account. Some of us find out not very much. Some of us find out lots. Who knows where you're at? But spiritually, the same is true. When we decide if we want to be an owner, you know, take part in the responsibility of the mission of Jesus here in the Comox Valley or Alberni Valley, we go, okay, God, well, what do I have in the bank? In the spiritual bank, do I even have anything to give to this? And when we go to the bank, we realize that as soon as we decide to follow Jesus with our lives, he gives us these things called spiritual gifts, and every single one of us has something to offer the work of God here. In fact, it's not just that we have something to offer, but that this church will never be what it's meant to be until all of us who believe in Jesus decide to use our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. The second week we said, when you buy a house, you want to sort of get to know the neighborhood. Make sure you've thought it through. Make sure you've considered a few things because it's a big commitment. And so we asked, called people to commit to this church. That it's not just about, hey, it looks good, and as long as it is good, I'll stay. But it's just this idea that God would plant you here, put you here, cause you to be part of it, even when it doesn't go perfect, even when the sermon is not that good, which is very rare. Just kidding. Week three. Last week, we talked about the idea of investing financially. Thank you to everyone who came to me after and just to encourage me. Your faith encourages me to say that I can speak about investing financially and people aren't throwing up the walls. People aren't saying, no, you can't talk about that. That's an area that I'm not interested in. Thank you for being willing to consider the idea that God might be calling you to a deeper financial investment, deeper financial commitment to the work of God here. And then this week, last week was investing. This week, we're talking about inviting. Isn't it true that when you have something that you own, have something that you're proud of, you invite people to come and check it out? You know, when you first buy a house, maybe if you've gotten to buy a house, you need to see this house. Like, come and see what it is. Isn't this amazing? We're so thankful for what look at my yard. For me, I love my garden. I'm like, check out my garden. This year, I got these beautiful things, these purple things right here. Aren't they cool? Like, most people are like, not really. Don't really care about gardens, but all right. Anyways, I love gardens. Anyone at CD Saturday yesterday? Anyone? Me and my mother-in-law, who was the only other person there from the church, I guess, went yesterday, and it was just a blast. You missed out, okay? You missed out if you didn't get to CD Saturday. But good news, actually, March 21st, we found out it's also CD Saturday in Port Alberni. Anyone going? I love it. Well, what do you do with your time if you don't garden? I don't know what. Anyways, so you get something that you love and you invite people to it. Maybe you get a new car, and your first car. I remember for me when I got my first car, I was like, I want to take everyone for a drive in this thing. This is awesome, even though it broke down in like 3 weeks after I got it. This is awesome. Come and see it. Come and experience this with me. And maybe it's not something we necessarily own, but it's a restaurant that we go to, and we love this restaurant. Someone comes to town. Say, I want to take you to this restaurant, or you've got to taste this thing, or maybe you have someone in your life who does that for movies. You know, you're like, you need to go see this movie. It is the best. This is what happens, and then, wow, it's just crazy. And usually when you go to that movie, now your expectation is here, and even though it was a pretty good movie, it falls short of your expectation. I don't like friends like that. Just kidding. But when we love something, we invite people to it. Come check it out. Yeah, come see what this is all about. Come see what I've got. Come see what I've experienced. Come see what I've tasted. Come walk with me in this new park. Whatever it is, I don't know what you're into. Come to this new hairdresser. Come to this new space. Oh, I love this new store. Whatever it might be that you love, that you sort of take some ownership. You share about it. And sometimes we forget to do that with church. We forget to do that with our Christian faith. I know for me as a young guy in high school, I was always a fairly solid Christian. You know, I grew up in sort of a half Christian home, but for something happened early on in my life that ignited my faith. I believed in Jesus. I wanted to follow Jesus. I sort of had committed to doing whatever he asked me to, even though there were seasons of disobedience. There was this sense in my heart that I wanted to do whatever God asked me to do. I wanted to go wherever God asked me to go. And so like every youth event, like I stopped playing basketball in like grade 10 so I could be a youth leader and commit to that. I was locked into to every retreat. I was locked into every conference anytime. I was at youth on Wednesdays and Fridays, and then Sundays I was at church. Like that was my life. I started pouring my life into that. And yet most of my friends at school wouldn't have known that. This wasn't a strong piece for my faith. In fact, I would show up to school and I would have just come off an amazing retreat or something really special or something really incredible that I felt was life-changing. And I'd show up to school and my friends would say, "Hey, Ev, we went to this party and we did this thing and we had this much to drink and you should have seen this crazy story. You missed out on an amazing time." I'd be like, "Oh, yeah. They're like, "What were you doing? Like, were you doing something? So what did you get up to?" "Nothing really, nothing." For me, I was so shy about sharing about this thing that's changing my life. And meanwhile, all my friends are consumed with drinking, consumed with partying, consumed with all of this. This is where their excitement and their joy and their passion is coming from. And I knew there was something better, but I wouldn't share it. I wouldn't tell them about it. It's weird how that sometimes is the case. Now I'm a pastor. I can't help it, unfortunately. I go to the store like, "Hey, what do you do? Pastor, do you want to come to church?" You know, it's just like right away. It's right in there. I can't sort of decide not to talk about Christianity. "What's your life all about?" "Oh, I'm always serving the Lord." You know, that's who I am. But then it was this thing that I just couldn't, I wasn't that good at that. It's funny how even sometimes the people who are closest to Jesus in Scripture were also sometimes not all that good at that. Sometimes not that amazing at sharing about Jesus. It's funny how we often aren't all that good about sharing about Jesus. Most of you who are here, you've had an experience with God somewhere along the way. You've had something that shifted your life, that changed you, that caused you to become something else, that gave you a hope that you didn't know you had, that gave you dreams that you didn't know you had, that gave you a passion that you didn't know you had, that caused you to see yourself or God or the world in a different way. And yet, sometimes we have this tendency to assume that probably no one else really wants that. Probably that was just for me and not for someone else. And if you actually sat down on your own, you'd probably go, no, this is for everyone. Everyone needs this. But generally when we're out and about and in the city, we're just sort of assuming that no one really cares what we're doing. We just assume everyone's got their life figured out. They've already got it all sorted out. They already have their solutions to their problems. They already have the stuff that they need in those challenging times. We don't need to add our thing. They're probably figured out. They're probably good. Probably what I have is not what they actually need. There's a chunk of scripture this week that we want to talk about. And it's a different view on a scripture that many of us will probably know. In fact, I've preached on several times. And it's from John 4. We're going to look at verse 4 to 8 and then 27 to 29. John 4, verse 4 to 8 talks about Jesus. Now, he's been with his disciples for a little bit of time. Some miracles have happened. Some great things have taken place already. And it says, now he had to go through Samaria. Samaria, in case you didn't know this, in this culture, Samaria was a bad place for the Jews to be. These people did not get along well, and Jesus is walking with this crew of Jews, the Jew crew. Anyways, they're walking through, and they're coming through, and they stop by at Samaria. It says, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now, at this point, usually in a sermon, we start talking about this woman and all the things of her life and all the reasons why she must have been an outcast from society, which is why she was at the water well at that point, why she was on her own at that point. All of these things, Jesus ends up having a conversation with this woman. This conversation sort of goes, "Hey, would you give me a drink?" And she goes, "What? I'm a Samaritan woman. You're a Jewish man. Like, wow, I'm not going to get you a drink. That doesn't make sense." And he says, "Well, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink." And she's like, "Really? Yeah, I'd give you living water." And she's like, "Well, I would like that." And then they start talking about worship. She's saying, "Well, is the place where the Jews say that worship is most important, or the Samaritans say worship should happen here?" Jesus says to her, "No, someone is coming soon." And at that point, you'll know that worship is in spirit and truth. All this conversation, that eventually Jesus gets to the heart of this woman. And this woman is talking about worship, and Jesus says to her, "Well, why don't you go get your husband?" She says, "Well, I don't have a husband." He says, "You're right. You've had five, and the person you're with right now is not your husband." She says, "Wow, you must be a prophet." And he says, "Actually, I'm more than a prophet. I'm the answer to everything you've ever asked." Jesus pours himself out like this. Her life is changed. She's looking on at this Jesus who's now shaped her understanding, who's changed so much about her. She's now recognizing that this person who, one, knows everything about her, two, is willing to talk to her and spend time with her, and three, is calling her and inviting her to relationship with him, to drink water that only he can give. Like, this is all blowing her mind. It says in John 4:27-29, after all that, it says, "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?'" What polite young men, hey? No one, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you talking to her?" Yeah. No one asked that. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" I want you to recognize something here. It's not something that I normally recognize when I read this chunk of scripture. It's not something that I normally consider when I'm imagining what was going on in this scene. But this woman has just had her life drastically changed by Jesus. And if you want to read more about the story, it's in John 4. You should go check it out. It's amazing. But just know that her life was radically altered by Jesus. She's an outcast, marginalized woman in society. She's just been changed by Jesus. And when that happens, she sprints back into town and says, "I need to go and tell people." Well, while she's sprinting into town, she crosses by the 12 disciples who are just coming out of town, who've just been in that space, and they're coming back to Jesus. These disciples are the ones who've been chosen by Jesus, invited by Jesus, walked through miracles with Jesus, seen incredible things with Jesus, have experienced all this, know his power, know his life, know his hope, know his care for the world, and they're coming out of the city that she's heading into. And it says she's going to invite all of these people to faith. But you look at that story and think, well, why is she going to invite people to faith? Because the disciples have just been in there. If the disciples were just in there, hasn't everyone already been invited? You know, I wonder if I'm with Jesus and I head into a city or a supermarket do people still call it a supermarket? Into a store, whatever, and I leave there. I wonder how often people are in there looking for an invitation and never received it, even though a person who walks with Jesus was there. The 12 disciples who know more about Jesus than anyone else were just in a city. Did anyone get invited? Did anyone get the call to come on out? Like when they went to the market, there's 12 of them. This would have been an awkward group of people. "Hey, what are you guys doing here? And why are 12 of you here?" Like, "Could we please get some chickpeas?" "We got to go feed our the guy that we're with." "Who is it that you're with?" "Oh, he's whatever. You wouldn't care." Like, what would the conversations have looked like? What brought you guys to town? Oh, we're following Jesus. Oh, we're just walking. We just ended up here, you know? We just came here. What would the conversations have been like? What would they have missed out on in that moment? And then they're walking out, they're like, wow, what a dark little city. What a city that no one, I don't know if anyone can change that city. And then they see this woman sprinting into town and she's just dropped her water thing. She's like, hey guys, I'm going to invite all these people to Jesus. Have you heard of Jesus? They're like, of course we've heard of Jesus. We're with Jesus. Come on. And they start walking out. So I wonder, if you haven't read the end of the story, you sort of wonder, is she going to have success or not success? Because the disciples just came out. If this woman has success, does that mean the disciples didn't invite anyone to Jesus? Potentially, did they miss something that was right in front of them? Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we miss something right in front of us because we're looking at something else. I want to show you a little video, and this may illustrate this really well. If you guys have that video, could we play that?
This.
How many passes does the team in white make? The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
Who saw the bear? Few people. A few people don't want to admit that they didn't. I won't ask if you didn't see the bear. First time I watched, I didn't see the bear. I heard the first time you watched it, you didn't see it either, Josh. That true? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, got to expose me. Yeah. Yeah, you see, you don't notice it. And if you think you're good at that one, go. There's a bunch of those online, and you just will be blown away by all the things that can change right in front of your eyes because you're looking at something else. You're staring at something else. You didn't realize it was there. You didn't recognize that it was there. I wonder if this was kind of what happened with the disciples when they went into Samaria or into the city in Samaria. They show up and they walk in and they're just like, we just got to get some food for Jesus. That's what we need to do because he's got to be hungry. We got to take care of Jesus. And in lots of ways, I want you to think about that as our religious practices. We're saying we just got to do our thing. As long as we do our religious practices, everything's going to be okay. Come on, here, read the Bible. Do this. Boom, 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 boom. And there we go. And now we've accomplished everything. And they're walking out. Aren't we good disciples? We got Jesus some food. Yum. And they walk out to Jesus. And here's what happens. It says they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Just so you know, that was the city of that she's just coming from. But here's what I want you to see what these guys say. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. In other words, Jesus, isn't it so nice that we got you food? Look at all of our religious accolades that we should have. We got you sandwich. Do you want a Nutri-Grain bar? Do you want to, like, look at all the options. We got some veggies. We got this. Isn't this great? You need to eat something, Jesus. You're hungry. And we have been very good disciples because we are thinking about you and we're caring for you and we got the food that you need. Isn't that awesome? And Jesus says this to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. In other words, he says, you think you are going into this city to bring me food? That's what you think is the most important thing here? Give me food because I'm so hungry. Like, I just wish I could have a sandwich. Jesus could go, poof, sandwich if he wanted to. He could even do sandwiches that they hadn't heard of yet. Like, he could do whatever he wants that way. He's not thinking like, oh, I need someone to go into town. I feel faint. He's thinking, I need to have a huge experience with this woman here. I need my disciples out of the way, and this city needs to get saved. So he goes, disciples, head on into town. And they're like, we got your sandwich. And Jesus like, you failed. I don't think he said that. But they come out, and all they've done is gotten him food. Meanwhile, Jesus sends one woman in, a woman who's been marginalized by society. That very city that she goes into is the very city that has been outcasting her. This would be the absolute worst person to choose if you're going to pick someone of influence to influence a city. Okay, if Jesus is putting together strategy, how am I going to reach this city? We're going to come by. How will I do it? Do I have some business people, you know? Do I have some people who can speak well and and we're going to need some finances to back up this thing, and we're going to need a few of these things. Let's get a few things sorted out and get it all in there. If we get it all in, okay, let's get all of that lined up. A few people to pray, a few people to do this, a few people to do that. Good. And now we can go into the city, and now we can change the city. Well, he just sent 12 disciples. They came back empty-handed. So instead, now he's sending one woman who's been outcasted by the city, who has zero influence in the city other than bad influence in the city. She has nothing to offer, nothing to give, and her entire testimony is, come and see a guy who told me all the bad things I've done in my life. And they're like, we could all tell you the bad things you've done in your life. Like, why is that such a big thing? It's like, no, come and see. Well, it says they came out of the town and made their way toward him. I just love that moment. I don't know what conversation's happening between Jesus and Peter at that point. It's usually Peter that I think of. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, how'd it go in there? Good city? Some pretty rough people. Pretty hard people. Yeah, do you think we should stick around here for a while? I wouldn't. No, it's probably, they're not ready. They're not ready. Well, did you end up having some conversations? Oh, I could tell probably that wasn't going to go that well. I could tell they probably didn't need what I had. So you knew that I was out here? Yeah. You knew that I give the hope to all the world? Yeah. You knew that I heal people and feed 5,000 and 4,000? You know that I do all those things? Yeah, I know. But you didn't think that they need it? I just don't think they're ready. Okay. Hey, Peter, what's that dust cloud over there? It looks like the entire city coming out here. Do you know why, Peter? Why? Because I sent in the least influential person in this city, and all I said to her was, go tell your story and invite people to come know me. The city empties out. How often do you bump into people in this city that would love to know the Jesus you know, but you go ahead and decide they probably wouldn't. This probably isn't for them. This is probably someone else. It's not that quite their time. I can tell that it's not really there yet. Well, if Jesus is going to keep sending disciples in and they're going to keep coming back empty-handed, Jesus is just going to find someone else, send them in and say, just go and make the invite already. Imagine if you knew that Jesus was waiting outside. Like, oh, he's here. Like, imagine he's just hanging out just on the connector over there. He's just waiting, like, chatting with someone. And we all head on into town, and we see all these people, and they're like, hello, here, whatever normal life just carries on in however it's supposed to. And we know Jesus is there. We know his healing power is there. We know everything he's got is there. We know that it's meant something to us. We know that it's impacted people around us. But we decide we're pretty sure it's not for them. What is that? And sometimes we're completely missing the very thing that God's called us to do. I want to invite you to be inviters. Owners invite people because they're excited about what's going on here and they're excited about what's going on with Jesus. They know what the community of God has meant to them. Worship team, you can come on up. And so I want to help you today. Pay attention to three cues. These three cues came from a pastor that I really love. I like following some of his stuff. And these three cues are going to help you not miss that opportunity. Now, there are some people in your life who aren't going to want to hear about Jesus. They're not going to want you to invite them. There are times that's just the reality. But there are often times where we miss things. And so I want to help you find the moonwalking bear. I want to help you find those moments where you can go, ding, 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 something's going on here. Now's my moment. I'm going to invite someone to come and be a part of the community that I'm a part of, the church that I'm an owner in, and the relationship with Jesus that I know is life-changing. Here's three cues that you're supposed to look for. One, when someone starts something by saying, things are not going well. Things are not going well. I'm just not feeling too good. Things aren't great in my life right now. I'm not experiencing great things. I'm struggling financially. I'm struggling with my marriage. I'm struggling with my kids. Whatever it might be, that's a good moment for you to say, oh, do you have community around you? You know, I know this one, and maybe church hasn't been part of your life before, and maybe that sounds crazy, but there's this real great loving group of people that I meet with every single week. And if you come with me, you're going to get a handshake, might get a hug. I'll get you a coffee. By the way, thanks, Samara, for filling in the gate today and making coffees. Even when volunteers weren't able to make it last minute, Sammy stepped in and made coffee. If you got a coffee today, it was because of the heart of that young lady. Might be able to get you a coffee. We're going to sing some songs there. You're going to hear about something that has changed my life. That's Jesus. And you know what? Jesus draws close to the brokenhearted in the Bible. I don't know. It sounds like you're going through a rough time. But I want you to know that when I've been in rough times, God has changed my life. Jesus has impacted me. I've loved that. That's a cue for you. Things are not going well. The second one, I was not prepared for ... Well, I was not prepared for the news that came out this week. Hey, how's it going? Well, it's going great. I just wasn't prepared for whatever it might be, whatever they're facing, whatever all of a sudden shows up. And you say, wow, how do you deal with those things usually? Oh, you know what? I stop and think, or oh, I'll just try to work more and avoid that, or whatever it is. In that moment, that's a chance for you to say, you know what? I've bumped into some things that I wasn't prepared for either before. And I can tell you that the Jesus that I know, that the one who's changed my life, he loves meeting you in times like that. Do you believe that that God is over every? Do you believe that you're the only one in control of everything, or do you have someone that you can turn that to? Do you trust in God? Things are not going well. I was not prepared for. And the third one, I'm not from here. You know, when people just come to a new city, their roots are uplifted and they land in a new space. Maybe they came from a different country, maybe just a different city. They've moved for some reason. They've landed in this space for some reason. That is a great time for us to say, well, do you have a church? And they may say, no, I've never been to church. You say, well, I've got one for you. Come join us. Well, I'm not really Christian. Oh, well, there's lots of not really Christians there. Come and spend some time with us. Come and learn about Jesus. We're not going to force you to do anything. We just want to tell you about the one who changes lives. We just want to let you know that he does care for you. Just come on out. If nothing else, let's go for coffee after and hang out. Whatever it might be, all of a sudden you may be able to cause them to develop roots in this city that exist in the church and in this community and may lead to them discovering Jesus Christ. So one, things are not going well. Two, I was not prepared for. And three, I'm not from here. You know, often people's worst times are our best times to share about Jesus. Well, often people are going through hard things and we get so nervous. Oh boy, are they going to ask me the question, why does God let bad things happen to good people? This is super awkward. I better get out of here as quick as I can. No, those are moments where we engage. See, can I introduce you to the one who, look, I've had some hard times in my life too, and I'm still in some right now. But I want you to know that when you're able to rely on God, when you're able to lay some of those things down, when you're able to know his grace and his hope, it changes your life. Will you come and experience that with me? Will you come and take part in that with me? Come and see what I know. And so I want to invite you to be inviters. I want to invite you to be a little bit more like the Samaritan woman at the well who had no influence and yet changed a city. Be more like her than the 12 disciples who entered that same city a few moments before and no one's life was changed. Simply because she invited people to come and see. Come and see. Come and see what I know. Come and see what I've seen. Come and see the Jesus who changes lives. I just want to pray for you today. Jesus, I just pray for every one of us Thank you, Lord, that there are a lot of people in the city who need to know you. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have a gospel presentation that is super rigid. We have to make sure we do all these steps, and once we do these steps, then it's, oh, no, we just get to introduce people to Jesus. This Samaritan woman literally just met you, had so many questions, and yet ran into the city, and that city came out and got to know you. All of a sudden, their lives were changed. Jesus, thank you that she was simple in her approach. Help us, Lord, to simply share the good news that Jesus can meet you there. In the places where you're having a hard time, in the places where you're walking through things that you were not prepared for, in the place where you've moved and you've changed your life and things have been shifting, Jesus can meet you there. And I've got a church that speaks about Jesus, and I want you to come and be a part of it. Lord, help us to be courageous in those moments, to be loving and share the good news of Jesus in those moments. God, give us the heart of the woman at the well. Teach us to be that way. And Lord, for those today who maybe this is their first time, maybe they're here because someone invited them today, God, I pray that they would just recognize Jesus Christ as that man who's God in flesh, who takes time out of his day to show up at the well where they are, to meet them in their marginalized space, to meet them in their outcasted space, to let them see him clearly enough that it would change their life. God, today, those who come here broken, worn out, tired, I pray that they would meet the one who is living water, who's full life, who's truly everything that we need. They would turn to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.